to the best of my ability, stay in the scriptures. I don't have time to promise anybody anything except the kingdom. Amen. See, that's I don't deal in real estate, earthly things. I'm not spending my time selling you something or promising you something on this earth. I'm only in the Bible. That's all I'm called to do. Amen. And I can show you a lot of properties that you can get in the scriptures. Amen. If you want to get some, there's a lot of benefits in the scriptures. Yeah. And the Bible said he daily loadeth us with benefits. So you want benefits? Yeah. It's in the Bible, but since so many preachers are preaching about earthly benefits and earthly things, I think that I'll take the side where I'll just preach on heavenly things. Amen. And stay in the Bible. And not focus on earthly things. Set my affection on things above. So to explain the Bible, because life is too short. And for the rest of time that I have on this side, I would like to just focus on even more in the scriptures. And you should do that when you're younger, because when you get older or getting older, it's kind of hard because your bodily strength. Now, I need you to help me read the scriptures, because it's hard for me to sit down. I'm sitting down most of the time. And to focus. My Bible is so marked up that sometimes it's hard to see the scriptures because of, and I don't want to start another Bible. I just love this Bible. I start another Bible and I cannot get used to it. So I go back to my whole Bible. for the next, I have about 4 services before I go into surgery for my hips, or my hip rather. excuse me. Then after that, I will get back into Joshua. But I want to get into some things that for the few services that we have, get into a few things. In Psalms, the 107 Psalms, if you have your Bibles, we want to we'd like to go to Psalms 107. If you have your scriptures, your Bible, and follow me. And tonight is Wednesday night, so we can spend a little while studying this year, and then we'll pick it up back and Sunday. Okay, in verse 1 of Psalms, well, you know, the Psalms is to praise the Lord. Yes. It's to give glory to the Lord. Amen. It's to lift up the Lord. It's to exalt Him. Yes. You clap your hands. You praise the Lord. You magnify the Lord. Psalms is wonderful. Amen. Then it says, sing psalms to Him. Sing praises to His name. And give thanks unto the Lord. And for He's is good. So in Psalms 107, we start at verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
See the way the psalmist begins. He just had so much joy and so much praise in his heart, so much thankfulness. You know, one of the worst things is when you're not thankful. When you just get to where you take everything for granted, something, somebody do something for you, you don't say thanks. You don't, you know, you don't respect it. You think that they have to do it. Or they hold that to you. Nobody holds you anything. They don't have to do it. But when they do it, or if they do it, you can at least say thank you. Or acknowledge that you appreciate it. Now, God has done everything for us. God is a good God. He's a wonderful Father. And Jesus says, there's none good but the Father. God's nature is goodness. And when the scripture said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you, that's talking about God. All the day said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, follow you all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here the scripture says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. This is a command. This is something that we are required to do. So you come to church and you never praise him. Your heart is not there. Your mind is not on the Lord. You're on everything else beside God. And you think it's a favor you're doing when you lift your hands up, when you clap your hands, when you praise the Lord. It's a favor, but it's not true, because God is good. So the scripture says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Is he a good God to you? Come on, is he really a good God to you? Did you know that healing that you received, you didn't have to have it? You know, God is a good God. And he said we should give thanks to him, to the Lord. Why? Because he's good. And he's merciful. He's good. So the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I mean, you don't find an insurance policy any better than that. See, God's insurance policy to you is goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So it says here in Psalms, verse 107, that we should give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. See, truly the Lord is good. He's good to you. Who is the one that wake you up this morning? The Lord, right? The Lord woke you up this morning. For his mercy, listen to this. For his mercy, endure it forever. His mercy, yes, the margin is his loving kindness. Endure it forever. Then it goes on. Why are you giving? There are many reasons why you give thanks to the Lord. But here, why are you giving thanks to the Lord? Why are you giving thanks to the Lord? Yes, he's good, and his mercy endure it forever. But let's move on to some more. He redeems you. The next verse. Did he redeem you? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Where did he redeem you from? Where did he redeem you from? Yes, he redeemed you from a harvest, but he redeemed you from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed you from the hand of the enemy or the enemies. Do you have any enemies around? Is Satan your enemy?
Yes.
I'm not talking about the person next beside you, because that's where you make a mistake. You think that's the person next beside you, that's your enemy. But you've got a worse enemy. Even yourself. You see, even yourself. Then he says, why do you thank and praise the Lord? Because his mercy is forever, and that mercy will never depart from you. It protects you from your enemies. And without the covering of the Lord, Satan would have destroyed us. When Israel was going through the wilderness, if God was not with them, they'd be destroyed. When the Lord would not go up with the armies in battle, they'd lose the battle. They'd lose the fight. See, if the Lord didn't go up with them, they would lose the fight. So it goes on and it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What does he mean by say so?
Amen.
Talk about it.
Amen.
Testify about it.
Yes.
You sing about it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You let everybody know.
Yes.
And he said, let them say that they are redeemed.
God.
Let the redeemer of the Lord say, God is good.
Yes.
Say so. Is that God is good and his mercy endureth forever. How long?
Forever.
So you don't have to worry tomorrow if he's going to be there with mercy for you and goodness. Because he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that mercy keeps you in church. Without the mercy of God, you never come to church, because the devil would put a thought in your mind and the devil would just screw you up, in plain words, mess you up. Because every time it's church time, he comes up with a distraction. And if you're not mature enough to know that's the devil distracting me, that's the devil want me to be marked absent. You know when you, if you don't go to work and you have so much absent after a while, what happened? You know, the same thing in the church.
Amen.
And I said, okay, when here, church time, but the devil do something to distract you. See, maybe it's a neighbor that comes over. Okay, just when you're getting ready to come to church. And instead of bringing them to church, because your little influence was not enough to bring them to church, but their influence was enough to keep you home. Or to keep you from coming to church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Would the devil work? Because most time the evil influence of the world is greater than the influence of a child of God over the unsaved. We see, but when you begin to get mature, you're going to say, no, I'm going to go to church.
Amen.
I said, I'm sorry that you come over at this time. I'm sorry, but I can't come over. I'm sorry that you're having a birthday party on Sunday night. You know better.
Amen.
They'll do that. They plan to get you out of church. You know that I go to church on Sunday and you plan a birthday party on that night or a shower. You're going to have a baby. So you could do it on Tuesday. The baby don't care, but you put it on Sunday because you want out, and you expect me to leave the house of God to come to a shower. Now don't get mad at me. Now, babies are nice, but no baby shower is as important as coming to clap your hands, all ye people,
Amen.
Or to give thanks to the Lord
Amen.
For his good. Amen. Don't you look at me all like that. See, you've got to understand that God is a great God. And he's to be praised and he's to be feared. And he's to be reverenced And he's to be respected. But a lot of us, we don't even understand what it means to respect God because we were never taught. A lot of people were never taught the fear and the reverence of God that he's a holy God. So they do anything that they want to do. And so he says that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When last did you say so? Yeah? And it goes on, it says, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now I want to go to Colossians, okay, chapter 1, and I think we'll start at verse 12. Just go there. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Did he redeem you and I from sin? Did he redeem us from the power of the devil? You remember Sunday night I told you that the devil, had us in prison. We were prisoners of the wicked one. And we could not get out. We could not get out from under the bondage or out of the prison house of Satan until Christ came and set us free. See, we could not get out, but Jesus had to come and set us free. Yes. Now, in Colossians 1, verse 12, go start at verse 12. Now, how did Psalms 107 start? What did he say? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercies endure it forever. Now let's find out what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. See what he said? Giving thanks unto the Father. Notice, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet. Hallelujah. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. If you got that, you'll be shouting. Hallelujah. See, giving thanks to the Father because he has made us meet to be partakers. Do you understand what that means? To be partakers of that inheritance of the saints in light. Like Abraham, we're partakers of the same inheritance. Like Paul. Okay? We even as Gentiles are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'll give you a scripture again pretty soon, but it says that. The next verse says, now, why do you give him thanks? Because he delivers us because of his goodness and his mercy. He delivers us. You ought to be shouting. He delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. So what should you praise God for? Because he's good. His mercy endureth forever. And he redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. How? When Christ came and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. When he laid down his life on Calvary, what was he doing? He redeemed us. He came, Hebrews 2, verse 14 says, he came to destroy him that has the power of death. That is the devil. So he delivered us from what? Why do you give him thanks? Because he delivered us from the power of darkness, satanic darkness, ignorance, unbelief, wickedness. He delivered us from that. And not only did he deliver us, but he didn't leave us alone. He puts us, translated us into the kingdom of is their son. Now, the kingdom of is their son, or the kingdom of Jesus Christ, is also the kingdom of God. It's the same kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Even the little stone that Daniel saw, that's the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And he puts us, he translates us from one kingdom to another kingdom. He's good. His mercies endured forever. Because of his goodness and his mercy, he took us out of the kingdom of darkness and puts us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Next verse says, give him thanks for his good. Why? And his mercies endure it forever. Because in whom we have redemption through his blood. He redeemed us. Notice, he redeemed us from the land, from the hand of the enemy. My God. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. And John, in one of his little epistles, says, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship. That means you're going to fellowship with God and his son. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood, that's redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all our sins.
Amen.
Who is, then verse, go back to verse 14. That says,
in whom we have,
verse 14, in whom we have redemption
through his blood,
even the forgiveness of sins. Is that the way we were redeemed?
Yes.
How were you redeemed? How were you saved? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. See, Christ, by his mercy, but according to his mercy, he saves us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. But he washed us with his blood. In whom we have redemption. Do you see how you get saved? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? You see, Jesus is the visible God. The Father is the invisible God. Amen. And you could not be saved without the visible God. Christ had to become visible so that we would understand what the Father looks like, what he's like, his nature, the character of God, who God is. Jesus is the very image of God. The invisible God. Who is the image of the invisible God? There's a scripture says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Are you listening now? The only wise God. What's the rest of it? The King immortal in Timothy. Invisible.
1 Timothy 1:17.
Verse 17 says, now unto the King,
eternal,
immortal,
invisible,
the only wise God,
be honor
and glory
forever and ever.
Amen. So you have the invisible God. No man had seen God at any time. When somebody said they've been to heaven and seen God and he has a big long white beard or dark beard, don't even buy that.
Amen.
Don't even buy that. Okay? Because you cannot look in this mortal, cannot look upon immortality. You cannot look upon God with fleshly eyes. He told that to Moses. No man can see God and live. Okay? Because God is in another dimension. And that's why we are changing dimension by, we are going from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. That's why he sent the Holy Ghost. Because we must be born again in the Spirit, and we've got to go on until we, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of God. We are changed. See that? There's got to be a change. Into the same image. Jesus Christ came to bring us to God. Amen. Yes, he's the Father of glory. And he's taking us where? The spirits of just men made perfect. So what are you giving thanks for? That God is changing us from mortal to immortality. From corruptible to incorruptible. He's changing us from the first Adam, the image and likeness of the first Adam, into the image and the likeness of the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good. He's good, that means he never left us in the fall, but he redeemed us from the fall. Yes, he sets the captives free. So it says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. And we have some very technical scriptures here that you can get confused if you don't understand, if God don't touch your mind, because these are heavy stuff and mysteries. And you cannot just run lightly over it and said, I know it, and this is what it means, and this is what I'm trying to describe, the Father and the Son and the relationship and who is greater than who, and all of that stuff. You need to, those are territory that you kind of need to have to lay off. Okay? And stick, you know, and stay within the boundaries where God puts us. Amen. And not going out there where we know everything about the Godhead and all of that stuff. We need to tread and holy ground very lightly. And we need to get our shoes off. The shoes of pride. We need to get all of this stuff and begin to focus on Christ. See, holy ground we're standing on. And may you begin to talk about the mystery of God. Mystery of the Godhead and all these. You go very lightly and not just too hasty to try to explain. Because nobody can explain the mystery of God. Amen? And God give us little insights here and little insight there. But no more than we can tell the numbers of the stars or the grain of the sand. Okay, some things are not easily understood. So he said, for by him were all things created. Okay, so if all things was created by him, we don't have to go and start to get into mysteries like, well, who created Jesus? Because it tells you that by him were all things created. And God goes, God's not worrying about trying to explain anything to us. All things was created by him. John tells us plainly, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's good enough for me. Okay, that's good enough for me. And the same Word, which is Jesus, Revelations chapter 19 tells us that the Word and his vesture and his thigh, he had a name. And what is his name? His name is called the Word of God. So where do you go from there? Eh? If he's the Word of God. And God created all things by Jesus Christ. Then again, the Word was made flesh and dwell among us. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. When was the beginning? Huh? But it was, the Word was with God in the beginning. And all things was made by him. Then Hebrews tells us that God upholds all things by the word of his power. So we need to get back and, you know, some where God wants us to be and not step on out there. Well, if God leads us, you know, or leave you, that's different. But there's so much out there. And we have enough over here to occupy our time than begin to going too far. And was Jesus created? And when was he created? And when was the beginning? And all of these things. So let me get back on solid ground where I know, in my territory. For by him were all things created, following me, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. That's awesome that he could create a visible. Why am I giving thanks to God for all of this? That he created a visible and an invisible world creation. It says visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. By him. All right. And for him. See, so the involvement of the Father is that he, the Father, turns over creation to his Son, Jesus Christ. But notice that what it says. What it's like a father giving an inheritance to his son. So creation, when God ventures out into creation through his son, it was God giving gifts to his son. Amen. Not to prove that they're different and one is even higher than the other. Okay. It's the father, like a father give gifts or leave an inheritance to his son. Now, God is giving an inheritance to his son. That's why you and I, we are the inheritance of Christ. God gave us to Jesus as an inheritance. So what do? You give God thanks and praise that he has created you through Christ as an inheritance for the Son. God's not trying to prove to us that he's greater than his Son. No. He's trying to show you that he has created worlds and dominions and powers and principality through his Son as an inheritance. Yes. Visible and invisible. Whether there be thrones or dominion or principalities or power, Are you listening now? All things were created by him and for him. Yea and amen. I mean, that seals it. That's all you got to prove. Nothing else. Amen. And the Father is one. He's in the Father, and the Father is in him. And we're blessed that he has brought us in. Amen. What a joy. So it shows you, give thanks to God for these things. And he is, look at this. Where are you going to, before all things. So where are you going to place him? He is before all things. Oh. And by him, all things consist. Now, if you're going to beat that, you're going to be in trouble because you cannot explain that. You say, but the Greek. I don't care what Greek you go to. That's your problem. The Greek and the Hebrew. Stay in a little territory that you understand. Amen. And he is before all things. Isn't that powerful? That's good enough for me. Amen. And by him all things consist. I don't want to go beyond that. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. It says, John? John 1:18 says, John 1:18 says, no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He had declared him. He came out of the bosom of the Father. How close can you get? He's the word that the Father spoke. He's the word of God. Now, when you conquer and master that, then you can go on a little further maybe. By then the kingdom will be here. And he is the head of the body, the church. Who is? The beginning. All right. So what are you going to give thanks to God for? That he is the head of the church. You're not giving thanks to him for that? Huh? That he is the head of the church is the beginning. The firstborn from the dead. He went and died and he destroyed him. That has the power of death. That is the devil. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Now, that, here's the purpose of creation. That, in all things, he might have the preeminence. So it's not the Father matching up with the Son, or the Son matching up with the Father. It's a Father... can I say lavishing love? Would that be right? Lavishing love is love. He loves his Son so much that he just lavishes love and say, Son, go ahead and create whatever you want to create. It's yours. And guess what? Guess what? He created a lot. But guess what? His greatest achievement and his chiefest creation is you and I. The Bible says that his delight was with the sons of men. And he said, no matter where you go, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the scripture said that he is our inheritance. My. And we are his inheritance. And we are the temple. My, you're not listening. We are his temple. And he dwells in us. He tabernacles in us. He fellowship in us. I said He's a great, big, wonderful Savior. No wonder. Was it the Syrophoenician lady cried out? Said, sir, we would see Jesus. Who do you want to see?
Jesus.
There's no other name that's sweeter. That name touch your heart. When you get close to God and read the Bible, oh, Jesus. In the midnight hour, when everything is quiet and your body rocked with pain, who do you call to?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. Can you tell me his name again? You're never tired of saying the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Right? Now, let me go back to finish here. Verse 18. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That, underline that, don't get away from that. Don't lose sight of this part. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Everything. You don't get, I mean, you know, you need to rest your case right there. Like I do. I rest my case right there. In him all things consist. I rest my case in this, these few verses of scripture. How great he is.
Amen.
Notice here now. If the Father is pleased, I am pleased.
Amen.
If the Father is not trying to solve or explain, not solve, but rather explain the mystery that we don't know, then I'm pleased.
Amen.
Whatever God does pleases me.
Yes.
It should please us.
Yes.
And this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And notice, it pleases the Father. Oh, hallelujah. Are you pleased tonight? It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Is that good enough for you? No, I want to go beyond that. You'll never do it. You will never do it. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness. That's the fullness of the Godhead. And having made peace, why do you thank him? Oh, that men would praise him. Why do you thank him? And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, all things, and you that were sometimes, notice, you see, notice, this is what we need to focus on and give God praise. So, why do you, he's good, and his mercy, look what he done for you. You that were sometimes alienated. And enemies in your mind by wicked works. Now tell me something. Shouldn't you praise him? And not worrying about, you know, the Father and the Son's relationship, who is greater than who or what, and focus. Focus right here when your little mind was filled with enmity.
Come on.
And we were aliens, driven and strangers from the commonwealth of the promise of God. But know what he did? And you that were sometimes, I would say most of the times, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now. Right now.
Praise.
Give thanks to God right now.
Praise.
Yet now art he reconciled. Are you getting it now? Do you understand where you need to focus and give God thanks for? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Giving thanks to God the Father. Why? Because of what he did for you. Amen. Instead of ignoring those scriptures or these scriptures and worrying about the relationship of the Father and the Son. That might be a little too big for us right now. In the body of his flesh through death, he reconciled us. In the body of his flesh through death. To present, why did he do that? Look, this is enough shouting material. You could stay right here forever. To present you holy and blameless, or unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God, in his sight. Woo! Church, I feel like shouting. I told you I was waiting for my help. If you continue, notice here now, if that little if, you can't miss church, be missing church, staying out of church, go back out in the world. If you continue in the faith, that's the faith that was once given to the saints, the faith of the elect. Grounded, notice, you got to get your roots, go down in the rocks, wrap the rock, and settle, not, and you know, driven with the wind, you're in and out, up and down, you don't even know. You're not stable. You say, he's not talking about me. Are you sitting out there before me? Well, who on earth do you think I'm talking about? You ought to be touching yourself quietly, nobody see, and say, I'm so unfaithful. And you'll be telling the truth. If he continued in the faith, I mean, you got to get to where God knows next week you'll be in church. Maybe. God knows that tonight you'll pray before you go to bed. It depends if I have time. If you continue in the faith. Or do you do that? You continue in the faith, grounded and settled. What does that mean? Have you ever seen that tree out there? Every time you pass, it's right there, grounded and settled. You know where you take root, you're not going nowhere. You're grounded in church. Amen. All right, here's that tree right out there. Okay? It's been there a long time. But he just got tired of being right there. So it get a better offer, so it move and go to the other corner. Some Christians are like that. They're not grounded and they're not settled. They float. But they don't know that. See? But you know what? When the tree gives off dead branches and leaves, those move around. But the root itself is stable. Yeah. That's why we need to be, here it says, grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Somebody give you a call and said, come over. We're having a wonderful fellowship meeting on Sunday night. Can you come? Oh, no. But when you get to that place of maturity, you're not going to do it. You're going to be in the house of God. But until then, my roots will always float. Because you're not grounded and settled. But when you get grounded and settled, nobody moves you. Amen. That's what it means. No phone call, no friends, no entertainment. You haven't reached that place yet until you can say no. Are you looking at me like that's so funny? Rooted, I didn't write it. And grounded in Christ and settled. That means you're contented. I'm not, this is it for me. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Amen. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his, go back, according to his working, that verse, verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given unto me for you to fulfill the word of God. 26. Even the mystery, which, notice something being hid. And it's still hid from a lot of pastors and ministers and saints. Okay? Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what do you give thanks for?
Which is Christ in you,
the hope of glory. What a scripture. So who give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And I will pick that up Sunday morning if the Lord lead me. Part one of a new series. Part one. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.